Hey there, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Monday, November 26th, 2007, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, Dr. Dick. That's me. Today's program is once again brought to you by Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. Look for the Video On Demand tab right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. I know many of you have sexual performance concerns and questions. Hey, Doc, what's the best sexual positions for butt fucking? How do I give a really great blowjob? Hey, I think I want to get into bondage, but where do I begin? You know, stuff like that. Well, now, you don't have to wait for me to respond to your pressing query. Just mosey on over to Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library and let some of the experts show you a thing or two. You'll be able to watch all kinds of deliciously entertaining, wonderfully enriching, and extremely informative videos right there on your computer screen. How sweet is that? I have a really juicy show for you today, but before we begin, I'd like to remind you of the Lickety Split Sex Advice Podcast Voicemail Hotline at 866-422-5680. This is a free, no pressure, voicemail kind of setup. No human will answer your call, least of all me. So don't be shy, my pretties. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Okay, on with the show. Our first correspondent is Joan. She's 25. She writes from Bridge North, wherever that is. I've just started dating a lovely guy where the sexual attraction is immense. He switches me on like a light and I can't get enough, but when it gets down to it, it lasts, on average, 5 minutes. I'm well aware I may be being a little fussy, but I love sex, and I really want to go for ages with him. The other night, I couldn't hide my disappointment. He knew it, but I wouldn't say. I'm frustrated, but I don't want to hurt his feelings. I'm a nympho, but he has such good qualities, what am I to do? You're a fussy nympho? When your fuck sessions only last for 5 minutes? Darling, you're neither a fussy nor nymphomaniacal. But you do have the patience of a saint. Listen, skip the martyr routine and tell the guy the truth. You'll be doing him and yourself a big favor. He needs to attend to his short fuse as soon as possible, and you can help. Lasting longer is a relatively easy thing for any guy, gay, bi, straight, whatever, to accomplish. Have your guy simply follow one or another of the following techniques, and he will have greater control over his trigger in no time. He may want to start this process on his own, but when the time comes, the two of you can work together. It will be like one of them Oprah bonding moments. If your guy is like most men, his wank sessions are speedy little affairs. We all know that squeezing off a quick one just to relieve the sexual tension is a good thing in some instances, but years of this same behavior will habituate a guy's body to having a very short fuse in all instances, if you know what I mean. If his body is habituated to coming quickly, like when he's jerking off just to relieve tension, then that's how it'll respond later when he's with you. No big mystery there, right? I suggest that he begin his effort to last longer by fundamentally changing his self-pleasuring activity. Most, if not all, of his masturbation from now on should be dedicated to full-body masturbation. The purpose of this kind of masturbation is to play with and move around the sexual energy that builds up as he pulls his bud. The object here is to delay, for as long as he can, shooting his wad. What the hell is full-body masturbation, you might ask? Well, it's pretty simple, really. He will be moving the sexual energy from his stiff cock all over the rest of his body. Since this is a sexual enhancement exercise and not just a clever new way for him to get off, he will have to dedicate some time to this effort. I instruct the men I see in my private practice to allot 30 minutes a day, 3 times a week for these exercises. If your guy can't see his way to spend that kind of time to overcome his premature ejaculation, he's just not really all that motivated to change. And if that's the case, you just need to move on or plan to be perpetually frustrated. Here's what I want him to do. I want him to touch and pleasure his whole body while he's stroking his cock. He is to make the pleasure last as long as he can. He may even want to incorporate a vibrating toy into this exercise. As he reaches the point where he feels an ejaculation is near, he is to stop stroking his dick and play with some other part of his body, tits, asshole, feet, whatever. When the urge to come subsides, he can start to stroke again. I want him to do this over and over and over until he can last a full 30 minutes. Remember, the object here, I mean besides the joy of touching and pleasuring his whole body, is to retrain his sexual response cycle. If he practices this method conscientiously, it will increase his sexual stamina. He will also have learned a clever new way to extend your partnered play, too. Check it out. When you guys are having sex, I want the two of you to do the same thing as when he is masturbating. Spread the sexual energy around. Don't just focus on his dick. Concentrate on building up his sexual tension, playing with that tension, and stalling out his ejaculation. If you're fucking and he's getting close to shooting, have him pull out of penetration, turn his attention elsewhere, like your clit, till he regains control, then he can reinsert. This is known as the stop and start method of lasting longer. Only my way of doing it ensures that he will know more about his sexual response cycle from his own full body masturbation. His building sexual tension will not take him by surprise. He will also know what to do when he feels himself getting close. He'll stop thrusting, but he won't have to stop the sex altogether. Rather, he will seamlessly turn his attention to other pleasurable activities before he resumes the actual fuck. After 30 minutes a day, 3 times a week, for 2 to 6 weeks of this stop and start method, he will notice a marked improvement in his sexual stamina. In time, he'll not even need to concentrate on his own sexual response cycle to keep up with you. It will be second nature to him, just like learning to ride a bike, only completely different. Let's review another technique, a couple-friendly method called the squeeze technique. I've introduced many a couple to this approach of prolonging pleasure with great success. The beauty part of this technique is that its success is dependent on good communication between the partners, and nothing serves good sex better than good communication. Again, since this is a sexual enhancement exercise and not just a clever new way of getting off, you and your partner will have to dedicate some time to mastering this method. Like the stop and start technique exercise that I mentioned above, allot at least 30 minutes a day, 3 times a week. You can't commit to that kind of time to solve your problems? Okie dokie, just don't come belly aching to me. Here's what I want you to do. Your guy is going to be the passive recipient while you pleasure him. Like the previous exercises, it will all be about gaining control over his sexual response cycle. Start by massaging his dick with a wet hand. Some nice lotion or lube works fine. You'll want to spread his sexual energy around, not merely concentrating on his cock and balls. He'll have to keep you posted on how close he is coming. When he feels he's about to shoot, stop stroking his dick and squeeze his cock by wrapping your thumb and index finger around the base of his unit. Apply firm pressure, focusing on the urethra, the tube that runs along the underside of his Johnson. Then, let go, and wait for about 30 seconds before you resume. This applied pressure short-circuits the building tension and postpones the ejaculatory response. Because it's essential that you apply pressure a few strokes before he's about to shoot, he's going to have to talk you through it the first couple of times. But soon, you'll be able to notice the signs of impending ejaculation on your own and take the appropriate measures. Most couples see a dramatic lessening of premature ejaculation in just 2 to 6 weeks of practice. Good luck! Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number you keep mentioning? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Again, 866-422-5680. Next, we hear from a fellow who identifies himself as confused. He's 16, and he writes from New Jersey. Doctor, I've been having sex with a friend who is 19, and he expressed that he had feelings for me at a time when I didn't have feelings for him. We got into an argument and didn't talk for a few weeks, and I noticed that I missed him, and now we're talking, sort of, but I feel that now it's more physical than anything on his part. I think I do have feelings for him, but the only time he attempts to talk to me is when he's horny. The biggest issue is that I haven't come out, and I don't feel it's the right time for me to do so. But I think if I did, it would help things between me and him. Could you give me any advice? Yep, pup, you sound pretty confused, all right. But then, you can't hardly be faulted for your bewilderment, being as young as you are. But if the truth be known, your youth has very little to do with it. The first thing you ought to know is that people grapple with these weighty concerns all of their lives. I don't know anyone who has all this emotional stuff pinned down, because just as soon as you think you have it all figured out, life throws you a curveball. You will find, if you haven't done so already, that there is often a very fine line between love and desire, passion and intimacy, and lust and affection. You should also know that sometimes, maybe even most of the time, we are out of sync with the person we are involved with. In the immortal words of Stephen Sondheim, either we are at last on the ground while they are in mid-air, or they keep tearing around while we can't move. Since the beginning of time, most songs, epic love stories, and romantic poetry have wrestled with the shifting fortunes of matters of the heart and the groin. So if you do ever make sense of all of this in your life, just wait a minute. The whole kit and caboodle will surely collapse like a house of cards around your head. That's what I've found in my life, anyhow. I still struggle with all of this stuff, and I'm fucking old, don't you know? Actually, I believe that the tension between love and lust is the very thing that gives life its spice. The only thing I've been able to discover after all of this time is that there isn't a code to break. Just a toboggan ride to be had. Which brings me to the second comment I want to make. I know that a lot of young people, your age and even younger, are experimenting with sex, and that's not a bad thing, necessarily. I do, however, advise discretion. Keep in mind that most people in our culture freak out when they discover that young people actually have a sex life. To that, I would add that you probably know that your 19-year-old playmate is technically breaking the law by cavorting with you, a minor, right? He could get into a shitload of trouble for bumping your underage ass. And while there's just 3 years difference between you and he, I'd be willing to guess that your friend is considerably more advanced than you in terms of emotional development. If he isn't, then there's something desperately wrong with him. Just be aware that sometimes a disparity in life experience can be used by the more seasoned partner as a means of manipulating the less seasoned partner. And that's never a good thing. In terms of coming out, well, that's best done when you are at ease and comfortable in claiming and owning your sexual identity, whatever it might be. Since sexuality is often a very fluid thing, there's no pressing need to self-identify as one thing or another until you have enough life experience under your belt to be able to say for sure. And even then, you might find your heart or your dick will lead you elsewhere. Remember what I said about life throwing you a curveball just as soon as you think you've figured it all out? Well, it's true in this regard, too. Finally, and this is the only absolute I have for you today, if you're old enough to fuck, you're old enough to know all about safe sex. And not only know about it, but practice it, too. If you're not using condoms, then you're just a dumb kid with rocks in his head. And I really want to believe that that's not the case with you. Simply put, HIV and other sexually transmitted infections won't make an exception for you because of your age. Also, you'll never come to grips with grown-up emotions and all that they entail if you're just a dumb kid with rocks in your head, if you catch my drift. Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. Next, we hear from Jen. She's 25 and she writes from Florida. I am a young and attractive female with a great personality and many friends. But when it comes to men, I just don't get it. I date many guys, but I can't seem to get a guy into a relationship. I won't have sex with a guy unless we're a couple. But the men I date seem to be turned off by this. They don't want to stay in the picture for long. In the past, I would have sex with guys I dated, but it would always end as soon as a relationship was mentioned. Any tips on how to get a guy to stick around without having to put out? Basically, men are pigs, darling. They want what they want, when they want it, and how they want it. And nowadays, the menfolk, they don't really think it's necessary to commit to a relationship just to get laid. The marketplace, so to speak, is brimming over with less encumbered pussy. Now, I don't want to suggest that you change your behaviors or value system, but you might want to take a look at why you are using sex as a lure. Maybe you're good in bed, but not really great relationship material. Or it might be that you are simply fishing in the wrong hole, so to speak. Why not try connecting with a good fundamentalist Christian boy, or one of them fine Mormon missionaries that are always floating around in pairs? They're generally cute as the dickens in their white shirt and black ties, and they will probably have a similar outlook as you on the proper place for sex. You may also discover that the men with more traditional values about sex will also have very traditional notions about the place of women in marriage, you know, like barefoot and pregnant. You may find that one of these more traditional types will even do you one better by insisting there be no nookie till you convert and get married in the church or in the Mormon temple. In other words, beware of what you wish for. You may actually get it. Good luck! Next, we hear from Tessa, 33, Sherman Oaks. She writes, "My husband and I are taking our first tentative steps into the world of kink. Unfortunately, we really don't know what we're doing. Are there any good guides out there for the novice kinkster?" You betcha, darling. Let me call your attention to Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library, this week's podcast sponsor, because I have just the thing for you and the hubby. Click on the Video On Demand tab at the top of the page of drdicksexadvice.com. This will take you to the library's starting page. Once inside, you will find everything your little heart could desire in terms of guides for the budding perv. In particular, I'd like to call your attention to a series put out by the ever-popular Nina Hartley. Nina is one of the most recognized and respected people in the adult industry. She is as well known for her outspoken support of the industry as she is for her more than 600 adult titles. And that's a lot. Nina established herself as one of the top porn stars of the 80s. She successfully continued strong into the 90s, where she did some of her best work. Today, she uses her position as one of the world's most popular adult stars to advocate sex education and sexual freedom. Look for Nina Hartley's Guide to the Perfect Orgy, her Guide to Stripping for Your Partner, her Guide to Sex for the Bi-Curious Woman, her Guide to Foot Fun, Nina Hartley's Guide to Strap-On Sex, Nina's Guide to Spanking, Nina's Guide to Double Penetration, Nina Hartley's Guide to Sensual Domination, Nina Hartley's Guide to Couples Sexploration, Nina Hartley's Guide to Anal Sex, and Nina Hartley's Guide to Sex Toys, just to name a few. These handy-dandy guides demystify the particular fetish, take the time to explain why fetishes are alluring, and what to do when one is curious about how to play with that fetish. And the visuals? Why, they will tantalize and inspire. If Missy Nina doesn't cover the particular kink that you are looking for, just do a search for the particular fetish that you're curious about while you are at Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. Try search terms like bondage, discipline, role play, tickling, tit play, costumes, instructional, fetish, cross-dressing, diaper, and medical play. And the list goes on and on. And the best part of all of this is that you'll be able to view these videos by the scene or in their entirety. Heck, you can even download them to own. And you can do it all from the comfort and security of your own computer. Simply put, there is no better way to become a big fat pervert than indulging in Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. Good luck! Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number again? It's 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. Finally, we hear from Drew, who is 23 and writes from Boise. I am gay, I'm a virgin, and I think I may be afraid of sex. In all the porn I've seen, the bottom guy looks uncomfortable and in pain. Why would I want that? I've only done anything sexual with one guy, and I was so anxious that I couldn't even get it up. I liked the guy. He was hot, and I enjoyed all the foreplay type stuff, but I just couldn't do anything else. Any advice on how to get over this? Well, first thing, don't ever look to pornography for your sex education. You will surely be misled. Second, that grimace that you report seeing on the bottom's face as he is being penetrated may be a grimace of pleasure and not of pain. I think that you are projecting your own discomfort on the guys in the movies. Let me tell you a little story. The other day I was walking in the park with Ginger the dog. Actually, I was trying to walk like a normal person, but she was pulling me like a maniac. Anyhow, we were both in our own way, enjoying some of the beautiful autumn weather and the sights and sounds and smells of nature in all its glory. As we walked along, we encountered a father and son who were seriously involved in what appeared to be the kid's first lesson in riding a bicycle without training wheels. Despite the father's patient encouragement, the kid couldn't seem to get the hang of it. He would start off okay, but just as soon as his dad would let go of the back of his seat, the boy would wobble and eventually crash. There were plenty of tears, a skinned knee, and the boy's fear and anxiety was thick enough to cut with a knife. It was quite a scene. The kid was convinced that he didn't have what it took to ride on his own. His defeatism fueled itself and became a self-fulfilling prophecy. He finally gave up, sat down on a bench, his bike in a tangle beside him, and refused his father's pleading that he try again. In the kid's mind, the bike was the enemy. Another attempt would only hurt and humiliate, and so the lesson ended. What the kid lacked was self-confidence, a sense of adventure, and probably most importantly, balance. I wish I had an opportunity to suggest to the boy and his dad that they might try another ploy. I wanted to say, set the bike aside and work on that balance thing first. This would surely increase the boy's confidence, and it wouldn't cost a blow to his ego or his knee, and it would be so much fun. I would have suggested that the dad start by helping the kid walk on the curb, balancing himself as he went. Then the dad could increase the challenge to include balancing while standing still, then balancing on one foot, then the other. Once the kid discovered the power within him to accomplish these tasks, the bike could be reintroduced. The father would assist the boy in drawing upon his skill in balancing on the curb to master balancing on his bike. The same will be true for you, Drew. Sex is nothing to be afraid of. Rather, it's a skill that one learns. Some obviously take to it quicker than others, but everyone can learn a happy, healthy sexual expression that will build self-confidence, self-esteem, and bring great pleasure. I want you to start by exploring and enjoying your bottom on your own. Like the kid in the park, you need to acquaint yourself with the power that lies within you. He needed to find a sense of balance. You need to find the big old butt pirate within. Most all the discomfort in butt fucking is associated with your sphincter muscle, trying to resist whatever it is that is being inserted in your ass. When this muscle resists to the point of spasm, things can become very painful. So here's what I want you to do. First, before you start playing with your hole, I want you to relax. Just like the kid in the park would have needed to do to calm himself before attempting to balance on the curb, the same is true for you. Take a relaxing shower, a warm bath, and/or try some deep breathing exercises to center yourself. Have a ready supply of water-based lube handy. Silicone-based lubes are swell for these exercises too. However, this type of lube isn't recommended for use with a condom. Start with a little self-pleasuring. Stroke your dick with your lubed hand and get into your happy place. gradually slather some of that lube on your balls and taint. With legs open wide, find your hole and play with your rosebud. Gently massage the area around your asshole, but don't slide a finger in just yet. Simply get used to the feeling of playing at the opening of your ass. Let your play include the tip of your finger entering your ass. If you do this for a while you're stroking your cock, you will find that your hole will actually open and invite your finger. That's the great thing about pleasuring one part of your body while learning to pleasure another. Once you're comfortable with your fingertip inside, try pushing it in further and move it around a little. Try pushing it in, pulling it out. You know, like finger fucking yourself. Locate your prostate. It shouldn't be hard to find if you're all horned up. It'll feel smooth and hard like a flat stone. Give that puppy a nice little massage. If you're still stroking your wood, don't be surprised if your prostate massage gets you to spooge. In fact, you will find that your prostate actually enlarges a bit and becomes more firm as you are about to shoot. As you jizz, you will also notice that your sphincter muscle will tighten around your finger and pulsate with every squirt. Continue these self-pleasuring exercises until you are comfortable inserting a couple of fingers in your ass. Then try a small vibrating dildo. In no time at all, you'll be ready to jump on your bike and ride, so to speak. With these exercises behind you, so to speak, the first time you actually fuck with a partner will be the incredible experience it is meant to be. If you encounter any discomfort, you will know what to do. Deep breathing to relax and priming your hole with a lubed finger or two. First, attend to your personal hygiene. Make sure that you're clean inside. We don't want any unsightly and embarrassing mishaps to mess up the big event. Remember, take it slow. There's no rushing pleasure. Also, you'll be the one in charge of what goes in your ass, when, and for how long. Warm up with some foreplay, kissing, sucking, licking, rimming, touching, and massage. Have condoms and lots of lube near to hand. While you're warming up, start loosening up your ass with your lubed fingers, just like you did in the self-pleasuring exercises. Once you're comfortable, offer your ass to your partner. Have him replace your fingers with his own. Try some swell finger fucking first. Once you've relaxed and loosened up, lie on your side with your partner behind you. Have him slowly push his cock against your rosebud. Try pushing out like you're trying to take a dump. This will help you open up your sphincter for his entry. As he enters you, have him stop so that you can breathe deeply. Give your ass some time to adjust to the new sensations. If there's any pain or discomfort, have your partner reverse course and go back to finger fucking before you proceed. Make sure that your partner knows that if you ask him to stop, he will stop. Trust is everything in butt fucking. As he fills you with his dick, he will hit your prostate. This will send waves of pleasure through your body and signal your sphincter to open up for even more. You may find that you want to push your ass back to meet and engulf his cock. By the time this happens, you will have happily discovered that you are riding your bike all by yourself, and you will be very happy. Good luck! Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad that you could join me. Tune in next week for more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. Listen up, buckaroos. Thanks to this amazing technology, you'll be able to watch your choice of smut from the comfort of your own home. With just a little prompting from you, they're going to come gushing out of your computer like nobody's business. Check it out. Look for the Video on Demand tab right there on the front page of DrDicksSexAdvice.com. There's no membership fee. This is a pay per minute kind of deal. And look for Dr. Dick's podcast on iTunes. You will find me in the podcast section, obviously, under Health, subcategory Sexuality, or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. And don't forget to subscribe. Until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex, why, that's even better. Over and out.